Amen. All right. Take your Bible, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians tonight. 1 Thessalonians. Again, it's good to see everyone out this evening. Good to have visitors with us tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would. 1 Thessalonians 5. Going to be an easy read, down to verse 18, if you would. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Many of you probably quote this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why don't we read that together? Verse 18, you ready? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know what the will of God is concerning you? Give thanks in all things. All right, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God's help tonight on the service. Here's our title for tonight, Thanksgiving, the Attitude of a Regenerate Heart. The Attitude of a Regenerate Heart. All right, let's go ahead and ask His help tonight. Brother Sullivan, why don't you lead us in prayer if you would. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. The attitude of a regenerate heart. If you're in the room and ready to go, say amen.
Amen.
We know that Paul is the author, the human pen of the book of 1 Thessalonians. Paul, or God himself, of course, is the author. And so in verse 18, we have a command from the Lord that in everything give thanks. And just to make sure that we understand that's a command, the next few words that we read is, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you're a you tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Right? Well, if you're a you, then this verse applies to you. And God says that we are to be thankful in all things. You know, the word thank in one form or another appears in our King James Bible 133 times, making it a prominent theme. Anything that shows up in our Bible 133 times is definitely a prominent theme. And any of us tonight who have read through our Bibles, especially when we've read through the 150 chapters of the Psalms, then you know that that's a frequent subject in the Psalms. Those 150 chapters mentions thanks in one form or another many, many times. But it's not just the Psalms. Paul was also a frequent writer when it came to this thing of thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, Paul's books mentions thanks in one form or another 45 times. So that's a pretty frequent subject in his writings. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote often about an attitude of thanks. And when we write or think about thanks, you know, many of us probably would have thought instantly the book of Psalms because of how many times it's mentioned there. But the reality is that Paul mentions thanks 13 times more than it's mentioned in the book of Psalms or in the Psalms. And so Paul wrote more of it than the Psalms did. In addition to that, if there's 133 references, Paul made 45 references. So that's, you know, a third, basically, of the references to thanks in one form or another were made by the Apostle Paul. So he's a pretty frequent writer or speaker concerning this thing of thanks. I think Paul would have agreed that he had a lot to be thankful for in his life, and he expressed that again many times. Now, the word thanks is simple enough in itself. It means to express gratitude. It means to express appreciation. When we say thanks to someone, we're saying, hey, I appreciate what you did. We're demonstrating gratitude toward what someone did for us or on our behalf. Now, I don't know about you. I'll speak for myself. I despise rudeness. There are things that I despise in my life. There's more. I got a list. But rudeness is one of those things that I despise. And I just think we don't have to be rude to one another. Don't you agree with that? I think we can be kind and right toward one another. And one of the areas of rudeness that bothers me is this lack of thanksgiving, just a failure to express simple gratitude. You know, if you're driving, this one just eats me up. When you're driving, I deal with unthankfulness, which shifts to anger. And so I have to deal with both of these on my behalf. They make me sin, all right? But when I'm driving on, if you've ever been driving and someone's pulling out from the right and traffic's backed all up and you, out of the kindness of your heart, stop. You know, you think, I'm going to stop and let this guy out so that he can merge into traffic. You ever stop and do that? And then they pull out and they don't even look at you. They don't even acknowledge you. They just drive out and take off in traffic. That's rude. Oh, come on, don't you think? The other one that bothers me is when you're holding the door for somebody at the store or someplace, you know, and you're holding the door and they just walk by, don't even look at you or acknowledge you, and just walk through like it was your duty, you know, to hold the door for them. If you're around me at that point, that's when I say, "You're welcome." I always shout, "You're welcome," as they go through, because that bothers me that it's rude. And I think the thing that bothers me so much about it is it just doesn't cost very much to express gratitude. It doesn't cost very much to be thankful. You know, if somebody pulls out, how much does it cost to just wave and say, "Hey, thanks, pal. I know you didn't have to let me out, but you did, and I appreciate that." It doesn't take a whole lot when someone holds a door for us as they walk through just to say, "Hey, thanks. I appreciate the fact that you took time. You didn't have to hold the door for me, but you did, and I appreciate that." It doesn't take much effort, does it, just to say thank you as you go through the door. And so I think that's one reason it kind of bothers me a little bit. But when it comes to God, it goes without saying that we should always be ready to express gratitude and appreciation for all the blessings that we have, for all the things that He's given us. And it doesn't matter how bad you think your life is tonight, I'll guarantee you there are some good things in your life as well. You're here tonight, you're upright and breathing, that's a good thing right there. And so we ought to be ready to express a gratitude and appreciation to the Lord. We should never have trouble when it comes to taking testimonies, finding something to be thankful for. I mean, we ought to be able to spend the whole night if we wanted to, just recognizing and appreciating the blessings that God has given us in our life, because they are many. And so we should be able to do that without any trouble whatsoever. But here's what I want you to think with me about tonight. And here's the thing that we often miss when it comes to thanksgiving in relationship to God, or thankfulness in relationship to God. And that is that in the scriptures, when it comes to God or in relationship to God, thankfulness or thanksgiving is about far more than appreciation. While appreciation is part of that, and gratitude is a part of being thankful to God, it's only a small part. This idea of thanksgiving or appreciation is far greater than that in the scriptures when it comes to the Lord. Did you know tonight that in the Bible, one of the fundamental or foundational characteristics of the unregenerated heart, one of the fundamental characteristics in the scriptures of an unsaved heart, is a lack of appreciation toward God? It's one of the foundational truths about the unregenerate or lost heart, is an unthankful attitude toward God. Now, if we were to list all the characteristics that we might think of in relationship to the last days, you know, the days before Christ was going to return, we're in those last days. We don't know when He's coming back, but we're in the last days, according to Paul. And so Paul gives us a list of those characteristics that were going to be present during the last days. And if we were to list those, without having talked about what we've just talked about, I think that most of us could come up with some things. We would talk about maybe rampant homosexuality or rampant wickedness, the destruction of the family, abortion, unnatural affection, being willing to murder your own child in the womb. We could talk about just the wickedness of our day, corruption, deceitfulness. There's so many things that we could list as a characteristic of the last days before the Lord Jesus Christ returned. Now, Paul listed those things when he talked about the last days, many of those things. But among the list of things that Paul listed that characterized the last day, he listed an unthankful heart. Look, if you will, over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul listed among those things this lack of thanksgiving toward God as a characteristic of a secular humanistic culture of the last days. And Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." What's our next word? "Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And so Paul lists all of these things that are indicators of the last day. Now notice the list. He talks about boasters. He talks about pride. He talks about those who are disobedient to parents. He talks about those who are infatuated with lust and the love for pleasure. He talks about blasphemers and idolaters. He talks about all of these things. And then he says, oh, and they'll be unthankful. Doesn't that seem odd in that list? All of these, what we would categorize as just horrible sins or horrible things. And in the midst of that, Paul, just about the middle of the list, Paul inserts, and they're unthankful. They're unthankful. That's not a good list to be in. And so Paul then, as I said, mentions this idea of unthankful. Now, when Paul listed the attitudes and the characteristics of the unregenerated heart, Paul also listed among them this lack of thankfulness. Look over in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. In 2 Timothy 3, he's talking about what it will be like in the last days. And he says among the characteristics of the last days will be this idea of unthankfulness. There'll be blasphemers, boasters, haters of God, and unthankful. In Romans chapter 1, Paul's listing the characteristics of the unregenerate heart. He's listing the characteristics of the lost man, what lost people are like, those who don't know Christ. And in that list, Paul also mentions this idea of being unthankful. Notice in verse 21, it says, Verse 21, because they, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. And so Paul mentions again the characteristics of the unregenerate heart is that of being unthankful. So in the Bible, the Word of God sees this lack of thanksgiving toward God as something far more serious than simply not being appreciative. Now, we ought to be appreciative, and I think it's serious if we're not appreciative toward God. But the Bible sees it as something much more serious, much more nefarious than simply not being appreciative of the things of God. In Romans 1, look back up in verse 18, right before the verse we read. And he says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood, and by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." Did you see that? "Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Here's why. Because when they knew God, they refused to glorify him. They refused to recognize that he is God. And then Paul says, oh, and also, they weren't thankful. They were unthankful. Now, in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 or 18 through 21, he lists all this horrible stuff, and then he says, and they weren't thankful. You see, when a man is unthankful toward God, or when a person is unthankful toward God, it means much more than just being unappreciative. When a person is unthankful toward God, or an attitude of unthankfulness, in the case of Romans 1, is a refusal to recognize or to acknowledge the sovereignty and the power of God's working in my life. This is what he says they're guilty of. They refuse to recognize his eternal power and Godhead. They refuse to recognize that all that comes into our life is the working of a sovereign and almighty God. Of course, the worst of this is evolution and the rejection of God's existence and the rejection of creation itself. And it says man refuses to recognize God's sovereignty, God's authority. That's the reason Paul says the result of that or the manifestation of that is unthankful. Unthankfulness is not the last sin in that list of sins. It's the manifestation of everything that came above it. So because man won't recognize God's sovereignty, because man won't recognize God's power, as a result of that, he's unthankful. He sees no need to be thankful because he sees no need for God. Therefore, he is unthankful. Notice what Paul says in the text. You know, when people come to the point where they don't recognize the sovereignty of God or the power of God, then we kind of default to the fact that all that we've accomplished ourselves. If you notice in verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And here's how. They began to profess themselves to be wise, but they became fools. And what they said was, we don't need God. They recognized no need for God in their life. Because whenever we come to the place with an unregenerate heart where we're not thankful toward God, that means that everything I've accomplished in my power and in my wisdom. And the result of that is eventually that I don't need God anymore. Because if you'll notice in verse 28, as Paul ends this chapter, he says in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. They saw no need for God because everything they've accomplished on their own. This is why it's so ridiculous when you hear lost people and worldly people thanking somebody for something, being thankful. I'm so thankful. To who? To whom are you thankful? When they're thanking somebody or when they're being thankful in relationship to achievement, what they're saying is, I've done so much in my power, in my ability, in my talent, and I'm so thankful that somebody finally recognized my ability and my talent. Thank you for my reward or for my award. When it comes to catastrophe or when it comes to sad things or bad things in a person's life, They thank the Lord. I'm just so thankful we got through that. I'm so thankful we've survived. We were right on. I'm so thankful that I got over this illness or disease. Of course, they're not thanking God. They're thanking luck. Just thankful I was so lucky that I was able to escape that. I'm so thankful that I was lucky that I got out of the hospital and somehow I got better. I'm just so thankful that I was lucky enough to do that. But thanks or an attitude of thanksgiving, it's important for us too, as God's people. Sure it is. We see this all over the place in the life of Israel, God's people. When God brought them out of the land of Egypt, they spent all of their time thanking God, didn't they? No, they spent all their time murmuring and complaining and griping and groaning about everything that came their way or everything that came in their life. They had this rotten attitude of murmuring and complaining. You know, in the lives of God's people, though, an unthankful attitude is an indicator of a believer whose heart is not in fellowship with their Lord. It's an indicator of someone whose heart's not right with God because of a wrong view of the circumstances in their life. More importantly, because of a wrong view of the sovereign God who rules and reigns over their life. This is where Israel was. So, like in the world, unthankfulness in the life of a believer is oftentimes an indicator of someone who thinks that all they have or all they've accomplished is because of their own wisdom and power. Or it's the indicator of a heart that thinks that they can somehow fix everything in their own wisdom and their own power. Now, are you with me so far? Now, listen, let's define what thankfulness is then. Here you go. You ready? In the life of a believer, an attitude of thanksgiving is important because it is a testimony. A thankful attitude and a thankful heart is a testimony to our resolute belief that God is wisely and lovingly overseeing the very details of our life. Thanksgiving is an attitude, and it's an attitude or a manifestation of the resolute faith, the resolute belief that an almighty, loving God is overseeing the details, the circumstances, and the situations of my life. I have someone to thank because there is someone who is working in my life to bring about the details and the circumstances in my life that he chooses because he's trying to accomplish something in my life. And so I have someone to be thankful for. When I get better, I've got someone to be thankful for because God must have more of a plan for me because he let me get up. When things don't go the way I want, God works it all out, I've got someone to thank. And thankfulness is this resolute confidence, this resolute belief, this resolute faith that there's a wise, loving God who's working in my life. In every circumstance, in every situation, in every detail. Thanksgiving in the heart of a believer is a resolute testimony to our faith that circumstances and events in our life are simply tools in the hand of a loving, sovereign, almighty God. Do you get that? When I say, you know what, I don't always enjoy everything that comes into my life, but I can have an attitude of thankfulness because I understand that circumstances and situations are nothing but tools in the hands of a loving God who wants to bring things to pass in my life, who's working to bring something out of this stuff of value in my life. Now, I'm not talking about the stuff we do to ourselves. Oh, come on, you hear me? I'm not talking about the mess we make because of our own sin and then turn around and get angry with God because God didn't fix it all. I'm talking about the circumstances that come into our life that we didn't cause in our life. Thanksgiving is the heart of a believer, is a resolute testimony to our faith that circumstances and events are simply tools in the hand of a loving God who's overseeing our way. If you'll think about it, we just saw this the last two Sunday nights that I preached. Thanksgiving, or an attitude of thanksgiving, is a manifestation of just how much faith we have in the truth of Romans 8:28. That all things work together for good to them that love him. And our thankful attitude, or a thankful spirit, or a testimony of thanksgiving is the manifestation of just how much faith I have in that truth. Do you believe that? No, not me. Do you believe the truth of Romans 8:28? Well, then how thankful we are in the midst of circumstances and situations is the testimony to just how much we really believe that. Because thankfulness is the manifestation of a resolute faith that there's a sovereign, loving God who is in control in my life, who's working in my way to bring about his will. So thanksgiving is an expression of appreciation, but it's far more than that. in the lives of the unsaved, a lack of thankfulness to God is the manifestation of an unregenerated heart. It's the manifestation of a lost heart. It's a manifestation of a heart that doesn't truly see itself in need of a sovereign God. Because if they saw themselves in need of a sovereign God, they'd get saved. And they would serve Him. You know one of the reasons why people don't get saved? Because they're unthankful. That's what Paul said. They don't recognize the power of a sovereign God over their life. They don't recognize that they owe life itself to the God who breathed life into their nostrils and made them a living soul. And instead of being thankful, what's Paul say? They said they reject His existence, they reject creation itself, and they repurpose God in their own image. And Paul says this is one of the great evidences of an unregenerate heart, that inability to thank God for all that they have. But when it comes to the saved, us as a child of God in the lives of the saved, thanksgiving is a testimony to our resolute confidence in the sovereignty of God in His loving work in the very details of our life. An attitude of thankfulness is the true sign of faith in the promise of Romans 8:28, which I call that spiritual band-aid which we slap on everything. But do we really believe it? How much we believe it. We can sit here tonight and go, I believe that. Man, put me on the list. I believe Romans 8:28. I know God works all things together for good to them who love Him. Well, the evidence will be when we find ourselves in that spot, when God's doing a work on us, and our ability to say, thanks. Thanks. With me? Now, all of this brings us back to 1 Thessalonians 5 in our text in verse 18. We come back to a difficult command in verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Now, considering all the terrible stuff and the heartbreaking things that can come into a person's way in this life, how can we expect anybody to take verse 18 seriously? How can we ask anybody to apply verse 18 in their life? Considering all the terrible stuff, this can be a rough old life. Oh, come on, let's amen there. This can be a rough old life. Terrible things can happen to good people. And that being the case, how can we expect people to apply that verse? How can we expect people to hear us say this or read this verse and go, well, that doesn't sound right to me? I mean, how do you tell two parents whose 5-year-old or 6-year-old was just diagnosed with some horrible form of cancer, just be thankful? How do you tell some poor wife who just lost her husband in combat, just be thankful? How do you tell someone who's undergoing some horrible situation in life, well, you just got to be thankful, sister. Just got to be thankful. That's what you got to do. Just be thankful. How do you tell somebody that? Well, if we were to tell somebody that, they'd look at us like we were crazy. What do you mean, just whatever? That would be their attitude. And of course, in answer to this, how do we do this? How do we apply this? How do we use it in our life? Well, in answer to this, the very first thing that we need to notice is the most obvious thing in verse 18. And that is that Paul did not say, for everything be thankful. And for that, I am thankful. Oh, come on. That Paul didn't say, for everything. There's been things in my life I'm not thankful for. All right. I'll just confess my sins. You can sit there all spiritual, but I'll confess my sin. There are things that have come my way that I have not been thankful for. I cannot truly say, for this I thank you, Lord. And so the very first thing we notice is that Paul doesn't say, for everything be thankful, but rather Paul said, in everything give thanks. So Paul takes the emphasis off being thankful for the situation and puts it on thankfulness in the circumstance or in the situation. May not be able to be thankful for every circumstance, but Paul says we can learn to be thankful in our circumstance or in our situation. This is where it goes back to the sovereignty of Almighty God. I have that resolute faith that though I'm not thankful for the circumstance, that in my circumstance there is a loving, sovereign God who is working in the midst of that. And so Paul says, in everything, give thanks. Now again, remember, you can't forget our definition of thanksgiving, so let me read it to you one more time. You ready? It is the manifestation of my resolute faith that in every circumstance, in every situation of life, there's a sovereign God working to bring about something of value in my life. Because that's what Romans 8:28 is talking about. God's working all these things together to bring about something valuable out of this mess. Something valuable out of this thing that I'm not thankful for on its own, but I have a sovereign God who loves me and He's working to bring about something of value. That's the definition of thanksgiving or what it needs to be thankful. Maybe that thing of value might not be me. Maybe it might be for someone near me. That thing of value could be a lot of things. Maybe that thing of value that God's trying to work out is Romans 8:29, where we've been predestined to be conformed to His image. Maybe this sovereign God who loves me is working in this situation for which I am not thankful to bring about this conformity to the image of His Son, for which I can be thankful. Maybe that's what He's doing. It's endless, isn't it? All the things that God could be doing in the midst of our circumstances. That thing of value that this sovereign God is trying to do in the midst of my circumstances might be to teach me to trust Him more. It might be to teach me how much I can trust Him. It might be, Brother Daniel, to bolster my faith that there's a sovereign God who works in all my circumstances. Maybe that thing that God's trying to work is the salvation of someone near me. Maybe somebody needs to see how real God is. And you get to be the testimony to that. Where they say, man, I don't know how you got through that. Well, let me tell you.
That's right.
Amen. It might be that. Hey, let's be honest. That circumstance, that situation, this sovereign, loving God is working through might be to bring me back to where I need to be, because my heart's gotten cold toward God and God's got to bring me back into fellowship with Him again. So God's allowing my circumstances, He's working through those circumstances to work me over, to bring me back to Himself. That's possible. But whatever it is, we have this Almighty God who's working in all these things. And thanksgiving is the ability to learn to see that there's a sovereign, loving God working in these things to bring about something of value in my life. Now, whatever it is, in every circumstance, I'm to have faith that God is working something of value in my life. And so I can look for that which I'm to be thankful for in my situation. Are you with me? I have this resolute faith that God, this sovereign loving God, is working to bring about something of value. Now I find myself in this situation. I can't explain to someone how they ought to be thankful for that. But we can say, let's just trust God and see if we can't find something in this situation for which we can be thankful. Let's find out what this sovereign, loving God is doing and be thankful for that. Are you with me? Let's be thankful for that, what He's doing. Matthew Henry, who wrote the famous Matthew Henry commentary. Matthew Henry died in 1714, 4 years after he finished his commentary. And I've told this story here before as an illustration, but I just like it, so I'm going to do it again, use it again. And as Matthew Henry tells the story of how he was robbed one day. And it was pretty rough, but he was robbed, lost everything he had with him. And as he was telling this story to somebody, he was telling them how he was robbed. And of course, that person naturally said, well, how you doing? You okay, man? You doing all right? I don't know what he said, but something like that. You doing okay, man? You all right? Whatever they said in 1700. Art thou okay? How doest thou? Whatever it was they asked him, Matthew Henry said, well, I'm thankful. And of course, that person said, man, how can you be thankful? You were robbed. Matthew Henry said, I'm thankful for four things. I love this. He said, I'm thankful for four things. He says, first of all, number one, he says, I'm thankful that I'd never been robbed before. I'm thankful this is the first time I've ever been robbed. That's the goodness of God. Oh, come on, amen. That's the goodness of God. I'm so thankful I've never been robbed before. I'm thankful I've never been robbed. Amen. That's me speaking, not Matthew Henry. I'm thankful I've never been robbed. He said, I'm thankful I've never been robbed before. How many of us would go, I'm thankful I've never been robbed before? Number two, Matthew Henry said this. He says, I'm thankful because even though they took everything I had, it wasn't very much. That's the contentment of God. Oh, come on. That's the contentment of God. Probably the most obvious was that Matthew Henry said this. He says, I'm thankful that though they took my money, they didn't take my life. That's the mercy of God. And believe it or not, the last one is my favorite, because here's what he said. He said, most of all, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, most of all, I'm thankful that because of the work of God's grace in my heart and how He has changed me, I was the one robbed and not the one doing the robbing. That's finding something to be thankful for in the midst of your circumstance. And if you were to ask Matthew Henry, and you can ask him one of these days, I guess, when we get to glory, but though being robbed wasn't a pleasant experience, in his being robbed, God taught him four things in the midst of his being robbed. If you were to ask Matthew Henry, were you thankful that you were robbed? I'm pretty confident he would say no. What person in their right mind would be thankful they were robbed? But Matthew Henry said, let me tell you, though, in the midst of being robbed, God taught me some things for which I can be thankful. Do you know that in the scriptures, there are many examples of God's people being thankful in circumstances because they see God doing something in the midst of that? Look over in the book of Acts, if you would, Acts chapter 5. There's such a big difference between being thankful for everything and being thankful in our circumstance and in our situation. In Acts chapter 5, these are well-known stories, but in Acts 5, look in verse 27, if you would, verse 27. This is when the apostles were arrested for preaching. Verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, 527, now we're in 528, saying, did not we strictly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intended to bring this man's blood upon us, Christ. It says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree, and hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. And then stood up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a space. And he said to them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves, that what ye intend to do is touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasted himself to be someone to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all the, as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. And after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing and drew away many people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, they were dispersed. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men, that let them alone, for if this counsel or if this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and had beaten them, notice that, and had beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And as they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing over the beating, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, they didn't enjoy being arrested. They weren't thankful for being beaten. But what they were thankful for was in the midst of the imprisonment and all the trial and all the worry and the beating and the mocking and all that took place, they said, you know what? In the midst of all this, we can be thankful that we were counted worthy of God to suffer in his name. You see the result of that thankfulness in the last verse. And daily in the temple and every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus. They say, you know, we can be thankful that in the midst of this, God allowed us to be an example of his glory. And in that last verse, that thankfulness then bolstered in them boldness. Just made them preach and teach more. You know why? Because they had a resolute faith in the sovereignty of a loving God who was working in the midst of these circumstances. You with me? James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James 1 and verse 1. James 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy. That's the same thing as saying be thankful, isn't it? Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work is patience. Hey, remember what we said thankfulness is? It is a resolute faith in a sovereign and almighty God. So he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Are they to be thankful for the temptations? No. They're to be thankful in the midst of those temptations, because they know this resolute faith that behind all of this is a sovereign God working to teach them patience in the midst of this. God is working to bring about something of value in your life. Therefore, we can joy. We can be thankful in these things. He's not saying be thankful for the trial or the temptation or those things that came in their life, but thankful in the knowledge, knowing this resolute faith that there's an almighty God behind all of this. In times of testing, be thankful for God's perfect work in you, they would say. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1, just a little ways away. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, which fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He goes on and says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though ye have not though ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And so Paul says, we're thankful, though in verse 6, we might at this moment be in heaviness through manifold temptations. We have this knowledge that there's an almighty sovereign God working in all these things, so that when Jesus Christ appears, we might be able to bring forth glory unto him. That's that resolute faith that God is working in our lives. There's an example of this. We won't turn there for the sake of time, but in Genesis chapter 5, or chapter 50, verse 20, is where Joseph said that famous statement, "You meant it for evil." You really think that Joseph's sitting down in prison going, "I am so thankful. Ain't nothing better than being in prison. I'm so thankful that I thought I was going to lose my life when Potiphar's wicked wife tried to get me killed. I'm so thankful for that whole thing with the baker and the butler." Then it was all over with, you know, he was able to say, "I can see the hand of a sovereign almighty God in my circumstance." And when those brothers came back, it all clicked. And Joseph said, "Now I see. Amen. I'm thankful that God meant this for good." Amen. To bring about a circumstance in my life. You know the greatest example of all of this? Look over to the book of Mark. The greatest example, Mark 14, the greatest example of this is our Lord. There's a word in Mark 14 that we never really focus on much in this story, which you'll be familiar with if you're a Bible reader or been around church much. In Mark 14, Jesus is now just hours from the cross. And in verse 17, it says, "And in the evening he cometh to the 12. They'd come together to eat the Passover. Jesus is going to alter the Passover into the Lord's Supper. And the reason why is because the Passover looked forward to the Lamb. The Passover is now going to look back in remembrance of the Lamb. So it says, "In the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they did eat, and sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily, truly, I say unto you, one of you that eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say one to another, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said to them, Is the one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish? The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him," he's going to die, "but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were for that man if he had never been born." And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them and said, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given what? Thanks. Did you ever think about that? He gave it and said, "Drink ye all of it." And he goes on to say, "This is my blood." He's talking about his own death. These elements represent his own death. And in the midst of representing his own death, He gave thanks. He's not thanking God for the grape juice and the bread. In the midst of all this circumstance, he thanks God. You know why? Because the valuable thing that God the Father is working in the trial of the Son of God is my salvation and yours. Amen. Which is something he saw value. Which is why in Hebrews 12, the first three verses, the second verse actually of chapter 12, it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Now we know Jesus, the Son of Man, didn't enjoy the cross because it was in the garden that the Son of Man prayed, if it be possible, Lord, let this pass from me. But yet he thanked God because in the midst of that horrible, horrible situation, something of value was coming to pass, which was us. Oh, come on, amen that. It was us, our salvation. And he saw the value in what he was about to do. With me? Thankfulness is that resolute belief, that resolute faith that there's a sovereign Almighty God working in our circumstances to bring about something of value. I may not be able to be thankful at this moment for the circumstance, but I can look for that thing that God is doing. I may not understand what that thing is till it's over, but for that I can be thankful. I've had this happen in my, I've seen this work in my own life, as some of you might be able to. I was thinking about this afternoon. You know, not long after we moved to Washington State, and I've told some of this story before, but not long after we moved to Washington State to start the church there, I began having these, man, just these blinding headaches. I just got just horrific, horrific headaches. And I started having this searing pain in my head. I mean, it almost take me to the ground when it would happen. And so I won't bore you with the whole medical story, but they put me on a whole bunch of medications because that's what you're supposed to do, right? So they put me on a bunch of medication and tried to fix all it, and they never could get anything done with it. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Of course, if you're like me, my first thought was, I got a brain tumor. It must be a brain tumor. What else could be causing this much pain and these bad headaches? And so the doctor called me and told me, I think you got a brain tumor. That didn't help any. And so the doctor's pretty confident that that's what it was. Now, I know you can survive some brain tumors, but when we think brain tumor, what do we think? Oh, come on. I'm going home to be with the Lord. That's all there is to it. And so we dealt with this for a while, and it was messing me up emotionally. I know you might find this hard to believe, but I was an emotional mess. I really was. I'd serve at the church and cry, just cry. Can you imagine such a thing? And it was just messed me up big time. So I thought, man, this has got to be it. So the doctor called me and told me one day, he called me on a Friday night, and he said, I want you to go over to the hospital and have an MRI first thing Saturday morning. Now today, they kind of work 6 days, but 25 years ago or more, they didn't do stuff like that on Saturday. So the doctor said, I want you there first thing on Saturday morning to have this MRI done. And I'll never forget this, and I think this is the part I've told before, because here his literal words were, now I don't want you to worry, but you may have a brain tumor. I don't think you should use the phrase, don't worry, and brain tumor in the same sentence. But anyway, so I went and I took this MRI, and in all seriousness, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I was laying in an MRI. If you've ever had an MRI, you know it's like they lay it on that cold table, and then they all leave. And so you're laying in there by yourself, this MRI table. And I've never felt so humanly alone in all my life. My head was just killing me. I thought, I'm thinking, this may be it. You know, I got a brain tumor. It could be bad. My wife couldn't even go because she had to stay home and watch the kids because they were all small back then. Jessica needed constant watching, so somebody had to watch them. And so she's watching the kids. And I'm laying there on that table. Now, listen, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't know what the Lord's got here. I know brain tumor is certainly not good, especially 25, 30 years ago. And I thought, you know, I may be going home to be with the Lord. And as I'm laying there, and I'm not boasting, it's just salvation, I wasn't concerned whatsoever about dying. Never didn't worry me at all. I thought if I die, be absent from the body of the presence of the Lord, I wasn't worried about dying at all. I knew Christ is my Savior. I knew He was in control. I never doubted it for a moment. But as I'm laying there, I'm thinking about my wife and having to raise those four kids all by herself. And I remember praying as I was laying on that table, Lord, would you just let me live long enough to see the kids grow up? Well, they did the MRI, and in case you're wondering how this all turned out, I lived. So they did the MRI. And it turned out that I had a mastoid infection. I had a really bad bacterial infection in the bone around my ear, and it was messing up my ear, my balance, my brain, my emotions, messing up everything. And that's pretty serious all in itself, but they got that all taken care of, and as I said, I survived the whole ordeal. But as I think about that, I'm not thankful for that. I really am not. But you know, as I look back on it shortly after that, I thought, you know, there are things to be thankful in it. I'll tell you one thing. When as a pastor, when I go into a hospital room or I'm dealing with somebody who's waiting on one of those tests, as I was laying on that table getting ready to have the MRI, I'm thinking this may, in a few minutes, my whole life may change. And I understand what that's like. And when I deal with that as a pastor now, I can identify with what it's like to lay there not knowing what the next few minutes is going to, what this next test is going to bring about. I'm thankful in that for that. Because it's helped me. You with me? It's helped me. Now, am I thankful for it? I'm working on that. Because I think we can come to the point of being thankful for some things. But I can be thankful in it. And I can guarantee if we think for a minute, there's many in this room could stand up and say, I'm not thankful for that. But as I look at it now, I can see the hand of a sovereign, loving, almighty God who brought something of value out of that in my life. For that, we can be thankful. And that's what Paul's talking about that we should be thankful for. And as a child of God, we're to be thankful or appreciative of all things, for all the blessings of God in our life, for our finances and our family and just all that God does in our life. But beyond that, the one great indicator of a regenerated heart is the ability to be thankful in all things. To manifest a resolute faith that in every circumstance of life, a sovereign God is working to bring about something of value in my life or the lives of those near me. Paul said that this is the will of God for us, that we learn to look at life this way. This is the will of God, that we learn to look at life this way. This circumstance, not fun. But in it, I can look for the hand of a sovereign, loving God. Paul says the will of God is that we learn to look at life this way. Now we learn to look at our circumstances and our trials and our situations this way. Come on, that's what he says in 5:18. This is the will of God. You know, as I pointed out, Paul said in all things and not for all things. But you know, tonight, I believe that maybe if we disciplined ourselves to look at life this way, and if we would discipline our minds to look at the working of God this way and to be thankful in circumstances because we can see the hand of a loving God, we might just even come to be thankful for some circumstances. And as I think back about that thing that happened to me, and some of you have worse stories than that, I've come to the point where I am kind of thankful for that. I'm not saying I want to sign up to do it again, but I'm kind of thankful for it. Because it's helped me understand what that's like. It's a valuable tool. I tell you something else it taught me. It taught me about the frailty of life. Yes. I'm laying on a table thinking, when this is over, I may be down to months. And the truth of the matter is, that's true of every one of us. Right. You better get busy. If you're not saved tonight, you better get saved. Because if there's one thing I can testify through that in the ministry, it is the frailty of life. Amen. So we can learn, if we discipline ourselves to learn to be thankful in circumstances, we might just come to be thankful for some of the things that come our way. But we've got to discipline ourselves to have this attitude of thanksgiving. And we don't have time to get into tonight, and I didn't do it because I knew we wouldn't have time, but that's why in verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 5 in our text, that's the why in everything give thanks is one part of a triplet. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, be thankful. That's a triplet. They all three go together. This is the will of God. If we learn to look for things in those circumstances for which to be thankful, I think we can rejoice evermore. Rejoicing isn't running around acting goofy and swinging from the chandeliers and acting silly and laughing about everything. It's just a confident joy that there's a God who's in control. And praying, taking these burdens to God, and trusting that there's a sovereign God. We may need to get on our knees and say, God, I'm in the midst of this circumstance. I'm trying with all my might to be confident and have a resolute faith that you're an almighty loving God. God, let me see what you're doing. Let me understand what you're trying to accomplish. If nothing else, tonight, and I'm done, we ought to be thankful that God doesn't always deal with us according to our thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Aren't you glad? You know, one really important verse is in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, where it says, God is good to the evil and to the unthankful. You ought to be glad God is God, not me. I'm not always very good to the unthankful. They annoy me. But God is good to the unthankful. Aren't you glad He's good to us even when we're not thankful? Because we owe Him so much. We have so much stuff. We couldn't even begin to thank God for everything that He's done in our life. But not only does He give you stuff, do you realize that money and finances and house, and that's nothing. That's absolutely nothing to our God. What is that to our God? But you know what's really amazing? Is that we can have resolute faith in an almighty, sovereign, loving God who works even in our ways to bring about something of value so that we can become conformed to the image of His Son. That is a God, my friend. What's stuff in comparison to that? What is stuff in comparison to that? You know, there are people out there who would trade everything they have just to have some type of reason or valuable thing come out of some circumstance in their life. Just to say, I didn't enjoy this, but I can see that God has done something through this. You know, tonight, perhaps you're dealing with something tonight as we think about Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving season. Maybe you're here tonight and you're dealing with something. And if I were to tell you tonight, just be thankful, you'd roll your eyes and say, whatever, you have no idea what you're talking about. Well, perhaps tonight, if you're saved, you can have faith in a sovereign God who can use your circumstances as a tool, who can use that thing you're going through as a tool to bring about something of value in your life. If you can just bring yourself to be thankful for what He's trying to do. I'm not talking about being thankful for it. Maybe you need to hit the altar tonight, if that's you, and say, God, would you please help me understand what you're doing in this thing? I want to be thankful. I want to trust an almighty, sovereign God who loves me. I really do. Can you help me see what you're trying to do in this circumstance? You know what you ought to do? Just be honest with Him. Come on, just be honest with Him. God, I'm not having any fun right now. Could you help me understand, see what you're trying to do? Whether you can see it or not, you ought to just have a resolute faith that God will keep His word. Whether you see it now or whether you see it later. I do know this much, that song is true, though it's not scripture, it's true. We'll understand it better by and by. We'll get it one of these days. Sometimes you just got to trust Him. Be thankful by trusting the God of Romans 8:28. Maybe here tonight, you know, unthankfulness among God's people is seen as an abnormal symptom or an indicator of a heart that's not right with Him. If you're here tonight, maybe there's something going on in your life and you're kind of bitter about it. Might be somebody here tonight upset with God because of something that's going on in your life. You know what you need to do? It might be time to come to the old-fashioned altar tonight and just tell God about it. Something that you can't bring yourself to be thankful in. Maybe you need to come tonight and just tell God, God, I just can't bring myself to be thankful in this. Will you work on my heart? And see if God might do something. And then lastly, if you're unsaved tonight, you ought to consider that a loving, sovereign God may have been working in your life to bring you to this place at this time so that you might hear the gospel and receive His Son as your Savior. What a great Thanksgiving to get saved. So you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved. Maybe you don't even know what that means, but you know if you died right now, you don't know if you go to heaven or not. There's a sovereign, loving God. I don't believe in coincidences like this. I think you are at such a place as this for this time. Maybe God's work to bring you to a place where you might be saved. When we give the invitation, if you just step up from where you are, come right down front. We'd love to take a Bible. You know the drill. We take the Bible and show you how you know Christ is your Savior. You might have the best Thanksgiving of your life. It'd be great when you thank God for the sanctified bird. To also say, I'm so thankful I'm saved. Amen. I'm so thankful I'm saved. And if God puts me on that MRI table next week, I'm saved.
That's right.
And I can begin then to look for the good that God can do in my life as a saved person. Why don't you stand with me if you would? Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're tonight and you're saved, maybe you just want to come and just maybe say, there's nothing big going on in my life right now. You just want to come. What a great time to just come and say, I just want to thank God for His goodness in my life. God has been so good to me. He's been so good to our family. He's been so good to my life as a single person. He's just been good to me. Saved me. Been working my life. He's brought me from some place to where I am now. Just so thankful for what He's done. Second, I'm here tonight, maybe there is something going on in your life and you need to come and say, God, I'm in this circumstance and it's not fun and I'm getting a little bitter maybe, or I just don't understand it. Maybe you'll come tonight and say, God, I want to be thankful. I really do. Help me to see. Please do something in my life that I can look back on this and say, I'm so thankful for what God did in that. Maybe it's to draw you back into a relationship with Him. Maybe it's to work some other thing in your life. If that's the case tonight, you ought to come and say, God, I'm back. Here I am. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I just want to serve you and live for Him. And if you're unsaved tonight, you can sure come. We'd love to take a Bible and have you just come right down front and meet me. I'll say, Preacher, I'd like to know more. We'll help you any way we can.